you so much, choir and orchestra. Big shout out to Jack Butler, who came in this week and was working at the church. Appreciate that volunteerism. And I got a picture to show you tonight of the work that was done. We got Josh Harden on the camera this morning, as well as Lomax Skinner. Thank you, gentlemen. I don't know who's in the booth. I know Art's back there. Who else, John?
Darren DePina.
Darren DePina and John Robertson. So we appreciate John Mannion's on the computer. We appreciate that. Volunteers, we still need you. Your church is not shut down. Dr. Wilson, I was amazed by that psalm, and I just want to read it one more time. This is not the sermon. By the waters of Babylon, we learn from Revelation that the Babylon is the city of man. It's not our city. We're not from Babylon. By the waters of Babylon, there we sat and wept. When we remembered Zion, on the willows there, for there our captors required of us songs. Hear the sarcasm. You are doing yourself a disservice if you do not read the Word of God and do everything you can to personalize it. It's not an encyclopedia. It's not a dictionary. It's a living word. If you're not able to see the marvelous miracle of God as he takes a text that was penned 3,000 years ago, sing us one of those songs. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? That's where we're at, church. America's not our home. Our hope is not in the government. Our hope is not in a vaccine. Our hope is not in a stimulus package. Our hope is in our God. If I forget you, O Jerusalem, if I lose sight of the heavenly city whose maker and builder is God, if I lose sight that this is not my home, I'm just a passing through, let my right hand forget its skill. I need you to see what he's saying there. Everyone who works with their hands, all you guys out there that work with your hands, can you imagine not having your right hand? I mean, just a little, tiny little piddly damage to my left hand, and I'm aware of it all the time. If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill. Let my tongue stick to the roof of my mouth. Do you understand that if your tongue is stuck to the roof of your mouth, you can't communicate? If I do not remember you, and then I'm going to stop with this line right here. If I do not set Jerusalem above my highest joy, Jerusalem, the city of my God, the heavenly city, the place where I want to be, if I don't make pursuing God's heavenly kingdom my ultimate, if I let anything get in the way of that, if NASCAR or money or promotion or anything gets in the way of pursuing Jerusalem above my highest joy, let my tongue stick to the roof of my mouth. Yeah. Go ahead, try to talk right now with your tongue stuck to the roof of your mouth. It'd be hard, wouldn't it? What a good psalm. All right, that was just a precursor. Galatians 5. Galatians 5. To all of you out there who responded to the text message this week, thank you so much. It was so encouraging to hear from you. I read every reply. If I didn't reply to you, it's not that I didn't read your message. I learned this week that Sarah Price, who works at the emergency room of Cape Fear, lost her job because of COVID-19. Now, you don't think that, would you? You would not think that people in the hospital are losing their jobs, furloughed. Not enough business. In the emergency room, did you hear what I just said, listener? She lost her job. She's out of work. We need to be praying every day that God would crush COVID-19. Every day. Verse 16, I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. These are opposed to each other to keep us from doing the things that we should want to do. That is the will of God. The war between the flesh and the Holy Spirit living inside the believer is opposing each other and it interferes with our ability to do the will of God. But if we, Paul writes you, but I'm trying to personalize it. If we are led by the Holy Spirit, we are no longer under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are obvious, and we've read them over and over again. I won't read them this morning. The works of the flesh are obvious. And he says, I warn you, as I've warned you before, that those who do such things, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I'm going to skip over the fruit of the Spirit right now because I'm just trying to get you to see a correlation here, a flow, Paul's flow in the text. So there's a war going on between the Holy Spirit living inside of us and this God-awful flesh that we're stuck with, and they are opposed one to another. And Paul gives them a stark warning. Read it right with me. Verse 21. I warn you, as I've warned you before, that those who do such things, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. And I'm going to personalize this. I'm going to do everything I can to make this come alive. This week, I got a text message from a young man, and I only hear from this young man when there's a crisis in his life. That's the only time I hear from him. Only when there's a crisis. And then all of a sudden, God is necessary. And I would say to that young man, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And this young man, bless God, was all concerned about a potential exposure to COVID-19. And what he really needs to be concerned about is the eternal destiny of his soul. Because Paul says in verse 24, and so what have I done? I've went from the beginning, verse 16 and 17, and then I looked in the middle at verse 21, and now I'm connecting verse 21 to 24. I wish I had one of those things to mark on the text. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Let's pray. God Almighty, help me to do a good job this morning, a job that honors and pleases you. And that the people of God at home right now are moved and are inspired and are filled with the Holy Spirit. I pray, oh God, that they would be edified, that is built up, that their walk with the Lord would be challenged, that they would find themselves more motivated to pursue God and God's holiness, that there would be a greater concern in their very being for the elimination of sin and the pursuit of holiness. And that we, oh God, would see what the Word of God has to say in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So our general outline is the death of the flesh that is past and present, and then life in step with the Spirit, and then very briefly for maybe 30 seconds, three things to avoid. Kind of Paul's last sentence in this chapter. Let us not become conceited. And then make sure we don't provoke one another. That's why I'm off of Facebook right now, because I couldn't get on there without provoking people. And then envying one another. I used to have that problem, Darren Hawk, but now I got a bigger truck than you, so I don't envy your truck anymore. And those who belong to Christ, Darren's probably not even up right now, so he'll get it later. Wake up, Darren. And those who belong to Christ, those who belong to Christ, there's a group of people who belong to Christ Jesus, Christ being the Messiah, the anointed one, the one sent from God, Jesus being his earthly name, the one who saves his people from their sin. This is God's Messiah sent to the earth to save people from their sin. And there is a group of people described here as those who are owned by Christ. They belong to Christ. He is their master. So we ask this morning, do you belong to Christ? Does he own you? And all of us that are born again, recklessly born again, passionately born again, we would say, yes, he's my master. Yes, I've been bought with the price. Yes, he owns me. Yes, he's my master. Yes, I'm his slave. Yes, he owns me. Yes, I don't have any problems with that. I'm not my own. He owns me. I'm not losing anything out of that. I have everything to gain with that. He owns me. He is my Savior. He is my King. He is my teacher. He has redeemed me. The Spirit of Christ lives in me. And yes, all my sins have been forgiven through his death, burial, and resurrection. I belong to him. That should be our testimony. We should proudly tell the whole world, I belong to him. He's my boss. I submit to him. And so he says, and those who belong to Christ Jesus, this is what's happened. They have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. I want you to see the connection that Paul is making here. I don't want you to lose it. In verse number 17, I would underline and circle right now the desires of the flesh. The desires of the flesh. And the desires of the flesh are the desires and passions of verse number 24. Teachers of the Bible, make sure that you are showing your people the connection of Scripture. All the Zoom meetings going on this week. All the COVID-19 cell groups that are going on. All the Sunday school teachers. Mike Germany told me that he's his daughter's Sunday school teacher. Your job as a Sunday school teacher is to do more than just tell a story. You must take the Word of God and connect it to the Word of God. And you can see that Paul wants us to understand that the desires of the flesh are what we are crucifying. They have been crucified. That the flesh, with all its desires and all its passions, and that is sinful in nature, has been crucified. So this idea, or perhaps a better word would have been truth, this biblical truth, this doctrine of being different, holy, distinct, set apart from the fallen, sinful world we live in is something Jesus and all his apostles make a big deal about in scriptures. Quite frankly, it's something that American church doesn't make a big deal about. And it's wrong. And if a letter was to be written to the churches in America like the letters in Revelation, we'd get a stark rebuke for our failure to preach the whole counsel of the Word of God. Think with me about John 17:14, a very familiar verse. Jesus said, I've given them your word. I've given them your word, the Word of God. I've given it to them. And the world has hated them. The world has hated them. The world has hated them. Why? Because they are not of the world. Now, Steve, you and I didn't have a conversation, and I didn't send you a text message that said, hey, read Psalm 137. That'll be really cool. We'll sync it up and make sure that it looks like we were synchronized. Did we do that? No. Yet that's Psalm 137. That's Psalm 137. It was 137, right? Or was it 39? Seven, okay. We're not of the world. We're on the banks of Babylon being tormented by our captors, and they're saying, sing Amazing Grace to us one more time. And we're saying, how can we sing? How can we sing? We're not home yet. We're not home yet. We're not from this world. We're not from this world. We have a heavenly city that we're looking for, whose maker and builder is God. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Hebrews 13, 12 and 14. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go out to him outside the camp. I can't believe this. I did not know that Psalm 137 was our psalm this morning. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. For here we have no lasting city. Oh my goodness. You don't know how much this encourages me. You might not be encouraged, but my little soul inside is being encouraged by the fact that a Holy Spirit synced two things together. And every time he does that, it's a testimony to me that there is a God. Every time these scriptures line up like this, I'm just always amazed. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. The world is not going to understand the way we live. The world is not going to understand the way we vote. The world is not going to understand the way we spend our money. The world is not going to understand the way we view sexuality and marriage and gender. The world is not going to understand the priority church has in our lives. You say, I don't agree with you. Just go to my Facebook page. And every time I said church was a priority, I was like, shut up. You Christians, sit at home and be content. We'll let you know when you can go back to church. It's not safe yet. You think I'm exaggerating? I have page after page, comment after comment, proving this exact point. The church is not going to understand the value we place on this ancient book. The church is not going to understand. I mean, the world is not going to understand the belief we have in God and the trust we place in Jesus Christ. The two words "this world" are used throughout the New Testament to describe the fallen, sinful nature of life on the planet. It's Babylon, folks. We learn that in Revelation. If we didn't learn anything in Revelation, we learn that Babylon is not one particular city. Babylon is the city of man. It's the city that we elevate. It's Washington, D.C., where our Savior sits. 4 more years and he'll solve all our problems. Wrong and more wrong. And the next political guy's not going to do any better. And our hope is not in a doctor. Jesus said his kingdom was not of this world, and Paul said that Satan is the god of this world. Philippians 3:20 says our citizenship is where? In heaven. Now turn to Romans chapter 6 so we can really get in here and unpack what Paul says about this crucify the flesh. Make sure that we get this. Romans 6. Romans 6, chapter 1, I trust you're turning it home. Let me put it on the screen. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that we may be recipients of more grace? Should we magnify sin so that the holiness of God and the grace of God is manifested greater? The King James says, God forbid. The ESV renders it, by no means. And then please notice this sentence. How can we who have died to sin still live in it? So why do we go from Galatians chapter 5 over to Romans 6? Are you arbitrarily grabbing scriptures? No, we never arbitrarily grab scriptures. We link the idea of those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh. That was our sentence from Romans chapter number 5. And we're now linking it back to how can we who have died to sin? So died to sin in Romans chapter 6 and Galatians 5, crucified the flesh. Those are same messages. He says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so too might we walk in, notice please, newness of life. So I came to Christ. My faith in Jesus was in his death and burial and resurrection. God did a work of making me a new creature in Christ. I've been born again. I've been regenerated. And now I'm coming up out of the grave where my flesh was crucified. It was put to death. And now I'm going to get busy walking in the newness of life. And oh, by the way, If we're going to keep the two city idea going, Babylon and Jerusalem, Babylon is now in my rear view mirror. And every time I look out my front windshield, I see what? Jerusalem. The heavenly city. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. So newness of life demands a change from the old way to the new life. And then it continues. For if we have been united with him in death, if we've been united with Christ in death, if metaphorically or in spiritually we have been united with Christ in death, that is, he died and I died with him, then we get this amazing promise. If we have been united with him in death like this, we shall certainly be united with him in what? What's it say? In what? In a resurrection like his. In a resurrection like his. Church, up to this point, we have not had anyone that we know of test positive with COVID-19. And praise God, we have not had a COVID-19 death. Now, if we were pastoring churches in New York, we would have had. And if we were in New York City, we would have. There's no doubt. And we need to be praying for all the first responders in New York City. Guys like Hans, who's up there serving. And there are others. Linda Jackson's up there serving. And praise God for Christians who are on the front lines of this incredible pandemic serving. But having said that, we need to understand that even if we had someone who died of COVID-19 in our own body of Christ, we would remind the entire church at their funeral that if you've died with Christ, you too will be raised with Christ. In other words, dying of COVID-19 is not the worst thing that could happen to you. Goodness sakes, church. We can't have the same fear that the rest of the world has. What has Christ done if we have the same fear? What has Christ accomplished if we have the same fear? If we live like the rest of the world, then what did Jesus do? I'm just going to keep pushing this pulpit this way. I'm going to be on top of you in just a minute there. We know, Paul writes, those who belong to Christ, those who've been born again, those who are authentically converted, we know that our old self was crucified with Christ. Our old self was crucified with Christ, with him, in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing. Why? So that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand this in one bit. And I don't want to personalize this too much, but I do want to try to bring a little application. So for a reason between me and my God, I chose to get off of Facebook. Now, I don't care if you're on it or not. This is not for you. This is only for me, okay? Don't try to think anything more than just me talking to you right now. Now, every time I type in www something in my little browser to get to the Weather Channel or Blue Letter Bible or wherever I'm going, right? Do you know what that little Google thing puts in there? Facebook. I'm going to the Weather Channel, not Facebook. So I have to go in there and backspace, or I have to keep. And I've just decided, you know what? I'm not going there. Now, there's just no way in the world I can say that there's victory over sin in Christ Jesus if that little web page can just whip me into getting there. In other words, is there strength in Christ to have discipline over something or not? Do you understand what I'm trying to say here? I don't care whether you, don't get rid of the Facebook part. Forget, maybe it's Instagram, or maybe it's smoking, or maybe it's alcohol, or maybe it's overeating, or maybe it's profanity. I don't care what it is. Forget about the Facebook part for a minute, okay? I was just trying to show you, like, I'm not addicted to nicotine, or so I'm not having that internal. But I was going every day, and I was commenting, and I was looking, and I just decided, you know what? I'm done. I don't mean permanently, I don't know when, but for right now. And what I'm saying to you is, how can we say that we have died to the flesh if we have no discipline to hold something together? And I don't mean self-discipline. John, I'm talking about that personal self-control that's spirit-empowered. Do you know? I'm not talking about stoic, I will not do this. I'm talking about your grace is sufficient. You have empowered me to overcome. I don't have to live in the flesh. I can have the victory. This little crisis has been good for me personally. I might be different from you, but I'm prone to give myself a little pity parties, feel sorry for myself. Ooh. And I want to drive to church and preach, feeling sorry for myself. But wait a minute, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Sean, you can do this. Get your butt out of bed. Get into your normal routine. March yourself there. Pray that the Holy Spirit will fill you with power. And then just start doing it. And oftentimes, that is the Christian life. Every one of you listening, every one of you that will listen at the next service can testify 10 times, 50 times, 100 times, when you drug your carcass into church, half dead, didn't want to be present, and the Lord did a work in you. And oh, by the way, if that's never happened to you, you better check your spiritual thermometer. Because all true Christians can relate to what I'm talking about, where you just didn't really want to be there. And you were just slap dab, just exhausted. and you were just about done with Christianity, and God did a work in you. Somebody listening at home, yell amen. Why? Because we are no longer enslaved to sin. Look how Paul previously said it in Galatians 2:20. He said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. If you think Pastor Sean keeps saying the same thing from Sunday to Sunday, the reason I am is because Paul says the same thing. Paul said, I have been crucified. I here is Paul's sinful, fallen nature of the flesh. Obviously, we understand that this is a metaphor to describe the spiritual transformation that takes place when a believer is spiritually born from above. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creature. The old has passed away and the new has come. Again, Paul says the same thing, only different in Galatians 6:14. He says, but far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which, now notice what he says in this case, the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. The longer you live, the more you realize Washington is not going to fix all my problems. And that my hope cannot be in federal, state, or local government. And I'm not saying that we don't serve in those governments. I am saying that if we do, it's because we are part of a larger kingdom. And it motivates us, that larger kingdom motivates us to serve this earthly kingdom. It is not the reverse. If you are not repulsed by the fallen, sinful nature of this world, something is wrong with your kind of Christianity. Pam and I, like you guys, we watch some shows. We don't watch all shows, but we do watch some shows. And we watch them together as a way of kind of just decompressing. Maybe you watch a little television or Netflix or whatever, you watch Hulu or whatever together. One thing that we do not cease to do is to analyze the worldview that's being coming across. We look at that worldview. We talk about that worldview. We don't just aimlessly vegetate. Oh, there's a visual for the camera. We may watch it, but we're going to have a conversation. What's the agenda? Because there's an agenda behind everything. There's an agenda behind everything. And since we're not of this world, we're not of this world, we recognize that's worldly entertainment. And we see the agenda. We see where they're going. There is no carnal Christianity. There may be moments of carnality, but not a characterization of such. By the way, just so you know, everyone doesn't agree with me on this understanding of the New Testament. There are plenty of Baptist churches, even in this city, that believe that if they get anyone ever to have a moment of faith in Jesus Christ, even a bit of a moment of faith in Christ, if they ever get a profession of faith, if they can get a sinner's prayer or a half a sinner's prayer or a little bit of a sinner's prayer, that the person is eternally saved forever and ever, no matter how they live. I think the best way that I can describe that is hogwash. And I guess the reason I would say that is because there are 27 books of the New Testament that would preach otherwise. Over and over and over again. That would say something like this. When Jesus gets a hold of you, when Jesus gets a hold of you, when he who began a good work in you starts that work, that he will perform that work. So that right there was starting that work. And that right there is performing that work, performing that work. And that performing of that work looks something like this. There is a greater focus on Jerusalem, and Babylon's in the rearview mirror. The flesh is being crucified, and the spiritual Sean is growing day by day, moment by moment. But there is some degree of progress being made, even if it's little tiny baby steps. So Paul speaks of a past event of dying to the world and an ongoing battle against the flesh. Turn to Romans chapter number 8. Should be very easy for you because you were just in 6. By the way, a little shout out tonight for 1 Samuel chapter number 30. The phrase that I really want to try to unpack is David strengthened himself in the Lord, his God. What does it mean to strengthen yourself? That's just a little shout out for the evening service. Look what Paul says in verse 13. Let me put it on the screen. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Man. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But in strong contrast to living according to the flesh and dying. By the way, that's not a physical death there. That's the spiritual death. That's the second death. Paul knows everyone's going to experience the physical death. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit, you, notice what he says now, put to death. Put to death. You put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Paul is not teaching us that we're saved by works. That's not what he's teaching us. Paul is abundantly clear that we are saved by grace through faith. That's it. We know that. But in this case, he's showing us that those who have been saved by grace through faith, they are characterized by putting to death the deeds of the body. You will live. Now, I want you to understand that this does not mean that we are perfect by any means. We have been watching our little 4-year-old more now than ever. And quite frankly, she's becoming a bit less adorable. That sinfulness in her is coming up. She's developing a personality. And this has brought a whole nother component of stress into our lives. Remember, our son is 25 years old. He's been out of the house for a little while. And we became pretty comfortable in our little adult life there with just the two of us. And now this sinner, that's a kind way of saying it, is back in the house. Not that we are not sinners. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But there's a new sinner. So the other morning, I was quite rude to my wife. I did not put to death the deeds of the body. I was a full-blown sinner. And do you know that that drive into wherever I was going that morning was just quite miserable? Now, I know that there are very few of you can relate to this because you live holy lives. But I struggle with the deeds of the body. And what I mean by put to death is I called her up and said, will you forgive me? That's not who I want to be. I want to put to death those deeds of the body. And so we had an extended conversation about sin, my sin. I'm just trying to help you understand that when you've been genuinely, authentically converted, you live according to the Spirit, and you do everything you can to put to death the deeds of the flesh. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the flesh, you will live. You have eternal life. You've been born again. You've been saved from the wrath of God. Turn over to Colossians chapter 3. We're going through Colossians in my COVID-19 cell group on Wednesday nights. And we've enjoyed the first chapter. Colossians is an amazing book. I think I heard Jeff King's group is doing Colossians as well. Verse 1, if then you have been raised with Christ, If then you have been raised with Christ, if you've been raised with Christ, seek. Oh my goodness, here we are. We're back to Psalm 137. Here we are again, back to Psalm 137. Seek the things that are where, church? What's your Bible say? Above the heavenly Jerusalem. Where Christ is what? Seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. What a unbelievable truth. So why do we go to chapter 3 of Colossians? Because of verse 5. That's why we turn there. We turn there because Paul said, put to death, therefore. So in chapter 5 of Galatians, it's crucify. And then chapter 8, it's put to death. And in chapter number 5, verse 5 of chapter 3 of Colossians, it's put to death. In chapter number 6, it's you've died. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. And then he listed out sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. Put to death, crucify what is earthly in you. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Earthly, worldly, earthly, worldly. Same idea. We're not of this world. Babylon in you. What's of Babylon? Put that to death. This is why all of us need to be very careful about what we watch on Netflix and CBS and all the other places that we watch television. Because let's face it. And I know I'm not the only one in the congregation that watches some television every now and then, or and you don't really, nobody even watches TV anymore because they don't have cable, whatever you watch. What would you call it now? Shows? Because you're watching on Netflix and Hulu and all those other things. When Steve and I were kids, they'd preach against television. More than one time, my dad threw our television away. More than one time. I'm not exaggerating. Come home after something like that, pick that thing up and carry it right out to the street. We're done with TV. And we might go a year, we might go 18 months, and then we'd bring it back into the house, and it would be like 1 hour a day, you know, and all that. And then, I mean, it's literally a balance. Social media is a battle. Jason, you got anything in the house? Y'all have nothing? Yeah. Amen. Because, Gene, they glamorize this stuff. They glamorize it. A little wine, a little extra attention. Oh, that looks so nice. So innocent. Next thing you know, they're having an adulterous relationship. Watch it. Watch it. It's right there. So if we're going to watch it, if we're going to partake, man, we got to be filtering this stuff. We got to be on guard. We got to be aware of their agenda. We got to understand, sometimes I need to make sure I'm putting this to death. There ought to be a time in your life where you turn it off. In other words, you started the show and you realize, this is not good for me. I'm going to turn this off. I'm putting this to death. Worldly, earthly, sinful, fleshly stand in strong contrast to godly, heavenly, righteous, spiritual. I would add the word Babylon right up here, and I would add the words heavenly Jerusalem right here. Why do I need to crucify what is worldly in myself? Why is this important that I crucify that which is worldly in myself? Why do I need to get my carcass out of bed and tune into the 8:30 service every single week? Why do I need to get myself dressed and tune into a worship service and make sure I've got my Bible on my lap? Since we're going to be doing this for 6 more weeks, why do I need to make sure that I discipline myself that this is the day the Lord hath made? Why do I need to do that? Well, here's the answer. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. That's what Paul says next. On account of these, Paul, what are the these? Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you were once walked. You too once walked when you were living in them. But now, so in strong contrast to your former life, now you put them all away. I'm in verse number 8. In these you once walked when you were living in them, but now you've put them away. You've put anger away. You put anger away. You've put wrath away. You've put malice away. You've put slander away. You have put obscene talk from your mouth away. Do not lie one to another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of its creator. By the way, did you notice it's being renewed? Being renewed? Not a one-time deal. It's an ongoing what? Process. It's being renewed. I'll show you Revelation 22 and then we'll be done. About 7 minutes. Last chapter of our Bible. Last chapter of our Bible, Revelation 22. I've got it on the screen for you. Revelation 22, the last chapter of our Bible. What does the last chapter teach us or say to us as it relates to this very idea, the last chapter? Verse 10 says, and he said to me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the evildoer still do evil, the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy. Which one are you? Which one are you this morning listening at home? Which one are you that'll connect with this in the years to come over sermon audio? Are you an evildoer? Are you just downright filthy? Are you characterized by doing what is filthy? Please understand that there's no connection back, like the righteous are filthy and the filthy are righteous. No, no, no. Evildoers do evil. Filthy people do filthy things. Righteous people do what is right. Bob Jones Sr. said, do right till the stars fall. Old time Baptists used to say that a lot, Steve, when we were much younger. The new modern Baptist churches have forgotten about that. Come out from among you and be ye separate, saith the Lord. What fellowship has this with that? Well, that's what he's saying here. Evil people do evil. Filthy people are filthy. Righteous people still do right. And the holy still be holy. Behold, I'm coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he or she has done. Recompense there is translated reward in nearly every other translation. God has a reward for those who serve him, for the righteous. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. That's what he's saying here. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my reward with me. I'm going to repay each for what he's done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to enter the tree of life, or the right to the tree of life. The King James is slightly different. It says to do his commandments. And then please notice, outside are the dogs. Outside are the dogs. Outside are the dogs. They're on the banks of Babylon. They're outside. The dogs and the sorcerers and the sexually immoral and the murderers and the idolaters. And then we're just really taken back by it. And everyone who loves and practices falsehood. Wow. What a contrast. It's almost exactly what Paul said in Colossians 3. Yet written by different authors. Colossians 3, we were just there. Colossians 3. Let me read it to you, and then we'll be done. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you once walked and were living in them. But now you must put away anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk. And then notice, please, what he says. Do not lie one to another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. And here John says in Revelation 22 that there's quite the stark contrast between those who are inside the city and those who are outside the city. Please understand that the city is the New Jerusalem, the heavenly city, whose maker and builder is God. And then there's those outside the city, and they are dogs, they're sorcerers, they're sexually immoral, they're murderers, they're idolaters, and they're everyone who loves and practices falsehood. So here's what your Bible says. These are all the descriptions of people who are saved. They obey him, being Christ. They hear his voice, the book of John. Follow me, Jesus says over and over again. Do his commandments. They wash their robes. That's why they're not filthy. They are holy, or they work on being holy, or they pursue holiness, and they still do right, or they strive to do right. Or when they don't do right, they recognize it as wrong and confess it as sin. 1 John 1:9. So I give you Hebrews 5:9. Just so that you understand how serious this is. And being made perfect, Christ Jesus became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Isn't that interesting? It doesn't say to all who believe. Now make no mistake about it, they do believe. But that belief results in obedience. So now let's go back to Galatians. I got one picture for you, and I'll explain it. We'll be done. How many can remember seesaws like this? Now, these are the old-fashioned ones. These are the ones where you would get a little girl on the other side, and then you would give her like the side there that we're going to seesaw back and forth, and then you would decide to have a little fun. Now, sinful fun, no doubt. You just terrorize her by keeping her up in the air, because those seesaws, they're not safe. They're dangerous seesaws. Today, they would wear a helmet on that, and you'd have to sign a waiver in order to get on that seesaw. I'm not exaggerating, but this is Peterstown, West Virginia, and you would be 6 feet up in the air on that seesaw. 6 feet in the air. And the little girl's just screaming, "Let me down, let me down, teacher!" And finally, when you saw the teacher coming close, you'd let her down. Come on. All right. Ridiculous little illustration. Now let me use it. I put two arrows here. The blue arrow represents being led by the Spirit. The green arrow represents putting to death the sinful flesh. The blue arrow's up, being led by the Spirit. The green arrow's down, putting down the sinful flesh. Here's what you need to understand. Every time you're led by the Spirit, you're simultaneously putting death to flesh. You don't need to think of this as like, I got two things I need to be doing. Follow the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Let the Spirit lead you. Manifest the fruits of the Spirit, and you will be putting to death these things. You don't need to rack your brain all day long. Am I putting to death, or am I being led by the Spirit? Every time you're led by the Spirit, you're going to be simultaneously doing what? Putting to death the deeds of the flesh. Like this seesaw right here. When this goes up, this has got to come down. And when the degree to which I look to heaven and let the Holy Spirit lead me in the way I need to live my life, I will simultaneously, without even thinking about it, being putting to death the deeds of the flesh. So this week, we still need to be led by the Holy Spirit. So let's pray. Father God in heaven, we need to walk in step with the Spirit. We need to be led by the Spirit. We need to live in the Spirit. We need to manifest the fruits of the Spirit. And now we understand to a greater degree that the degree to which we pursue Spirit-filled, Spirit-driven, Spirit-focused, Spirit-filled living, that is doing our very best to get in touch with the Holy Spirit and sense the presence of the Holy Spirit and live with the Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us, that we will simultaneously be putting to death the deeds of the flesh. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for listening at home. I pray that you are blessed and that we'll see you real soon.